chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and notice verse 14. Sin will not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Verse 15. Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient servants, you are slaves to that one you obey? Note that. Do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, what the apostle's telling us is that we have a choice. We're free. Grace liberates us to make a choice. That's the main stress of that passage. We are set free from the burden and bondage of sin through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are able to choose to make a choice as to whom we will obey. And our options are one and two. Who, to whom, under whom, for whom are you an obedient servant? You get to choose. Do you not know that if you choose, see that? If you choose to offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. If you choose to obey sin, the results of that is death. Look at the last verse in this chapter. The wages of sin is death. So if you choose, now under grace, if you choose to offer yourselves as an obedient servant, someone that you're going to obey, or some set of action or choices that you're going to obey, if you choose in grace, under grace, to give yourselves as an obedient slave, the person you obey is going to control your experience. It's very simple. But the point here is, you get to choose. That's the choice. Remember, when you're under sin, you have no choice. You sin by nature. You sin by doing what comes naturally. Grace releases you from that, sets you free from the burden of sin and death. It doesn't, however, release you from the consequences of choosing to serve sin. But you get to choose. That's the marvelous thing. Thank God, verse 17, that though you used to be slaves of sin, that was before you knew anything about grace, that was when you were under the burden of sin, although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to, and having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you offer the parts of yourselves as slaves to moral impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, that's your past history. So now that you have freedom, now that you're under grace, now you have the option to offer the members of your body as slaves to righteousness. That results in sanctification. Now, when you were slaves of sin and you had no choice, you were free from allegiance to righteousness. And what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. He's contrasting the freedom to choose that grace provides. He's going to insist, however, that if you choose in the freedom of grace, you choose to serve sin, you're going to reap the reward. You're going to reap the wages. You're going to earn the wages of sin. It's like saying that grace sets me free to choose whom I will obey. So obedience becomes the operative word here. We need to know some things for sure. That's the first 12 verses. Well, actually, the whole chapter. We need to know some things. We need to understand some things. We need to reckon them. We need to consider them. We need to ponder them. We need to digest them for ourselves or apply them to ourselves. We then need to yield or to present ourselves, members of our body, our life goals. We need to present ourselves to the right owner, to the right choice, making the right choice to choose those things that are righteous. And we then need to obey what that requires. Obedience. I was thinking this week of an illustration of scripture that would best illustrate this principle, because it gets a little thick. It gets a little shaggy. It gets a little tough in here. People think that because we're in grace, we're therefore automatically, let's put it that way, we're automatically blessed. And that's not always so. There are people who are graced, under grace, released from the burden of sin, released from the bondage of sin, but they choose instead to go back to serve sin. And what's the result of that? There are consequences to that. That's the point of the passage. So the admonition is to be careful who you obey. You have a choice under grace, a choice whom you will obey, and make the right choice is what his stress is. Notice again, verse 18. He writes, having been liberated from sin, that's what justification is, you became enslaved to righteousness. How did that happen? Well, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. You obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching. The question is, what teaching are you obeying from the heart? That's where the Apostle Paul brings us. Are we from our hearts, sincerely and honestly, obeying righteousness? Have we chosen to make righteousness our master? If so, then the fruit of righteousness will be blessing and sanctification. If we choose to make sin, old habits, old choices, we choose to make those the course of life, then we'll be obeying a different set of rules. That's the point he's making. And he says here that when we used to be slaves of sin, we obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to, and having been liberated from sin. So obedience opens the door to liberation from sin. I was trying to think through the Old Testament of a New Testament of people in whose lives you see that pattern. Remember what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will. That meant doing what? It meant obeying the Lord. It meant doing the things to honor the Lord. Now, there's a difference here. The obedience is not to gain salvation. The obedience we're talking about here is to escape consequences that are sad and ugly. You understand the difference? Because just a little bit, we're going to be studying the wrong way to be sanctified. But the Apostle Paul is saying that if you desire to experience God's sanctifying grace in your life, obey. The choice of the passage is, who are you obeying? Who are you choosing to obey? Who is your master? Who are you seeking to please? That's the whole point of the passage. And Paul reminds us of the importance of obeying what he called, obeyed from the heart, that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. Grace delivers you from the burden and bondage of sin, sets you free. Now, it entrusts you to freedom. If you don't choose to obey the principles, don't choose to obey the things that honor the will and word of God, then you're going to be serving the wrong master, and it's going to bring you disaster. Paul makes an interesting comparison in verse 21. What fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? Things that lead to death, things that lead to dishonor, things that lead to disease, spiritual disease, things that distance you from God. Those things we're ashamed of now. Why would you go back to a pattern of life that's going to produce more things of which you're going to be ashamed? Obeying the wrong master always leads to shame. Always leads to shame. Notice the wrap, verse 22, but now, since you have been liberated from sin, how did that happen? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what grace is all about. Since you have been liberated from sin and become enslaved to God, that is, God is my master, I am his slave, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the end is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. How do we then claim it? How do we then participate? How do we then experience the gift of God, which is eternal life? How do we experience sanctification? By being obedient to the word. There are a couple of very notable examples, easy to identify. You remember when John the Baptist's father was doing priestly work, and God, the angel of the Lord, came and said, okay, Zechariah, your wife's going to have a baby. Remember that? And he said, oh, wow, you got to be kidding. How in the world can I know that God can do what you're promising? That was his response. Remember that? And what did the angel say? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'll be mute. You'll not be able to say anything. Why was that? Well, it was a form of discipline upon him for not just obeying the Lord. If God tells Zechariah he's going to be a father and his child is going to be the forerunner of Messiah, then go do it, Zechariah. Well, but you know, what's Elizabeth going to say when I tell her that she's going to have a baby? Well, that's irrelevant. Really, it is irrelevant. The thing to do is not to doubt God. Just do it. Don't doubt, just do it. Don't doubt, just do it. In contrast to that, you've got Mary, who is visited by the same angel, and he says to her, God himself is going to make a body in your womb, and he's going to dwell in your womb. And what was Mary's response? Be it unto me according to your word. Sometime today, ponder that one. That was a very wonderful, magnificent, incredible act of obedience in faith. Obedience in faith. She didn't question God. She didn't lay out all the reasons why she wasn't sure this was a good path for her to go. She simply said, I'm his servant. I will obey. And she did. And as a result, God did a wonderful thing. God himself came to temple in her womb for 9 months, and then to be her son in her home for 30 years. Incredible, incredible what God does as we obey him. So the important thing is to obey. We don't obey to earn righteousness. We obey that the Spirit of God might enable us to be righteous. That's where we're going to go in chapter 8. Chapter 8 is going to build on this. And it's going to say to us there that the Spirit of God lives within us, and our task is to obey Him. Well, how will we know what the Spirit of God wants us to do? That's what's in this book. That's what this book is all about. So it comes back to the Bible. But the difference is, we are not choosing to be obedient to God's word and will through the Spirit within us and through the word in our hands. We're not doing that to earn salvation. We're doing that in order to open the gate, in order to provide the method, in order to provide the means whereby God Himself, God the Holy Spirit, will be able to teach us, take us into the Word, and then expect from us a response of obedience. Obey, 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 obey. Throughout the Scriptures, many places, you'll find the Word of God referred to as food for our soul. You'll find it referred to as instruction for our intellect. You'll find it provides habits, disciplines that we should follow, things we should do. If we do those things, then righteousness will result in our lives. If we don't do those things, if we refuse to do those things, blessing will not occur. Got that? Grace liberates us. It doesn't liberate us in the sense that is commonly read in the newspaper. It doesn't say, go do what you feel like doing. It's all okay now. No, there's still sin and there's still righteousness. And you must choose. You must make the choice from the heart to obey the one who is your master. You get to choose your master. Can I say it any clearer than that? Okay. What Paul's going to do now is take us into a discussion of how the law does and doesn't fit into all that. And Zach, I wanted you to see also that this is a complex passage. It's complex because we don't want to die. And death is the heart out of which all of this resurrection benefits come. Grace, the Spirit of God, new life, freedom, power to obey, a whole new life becomes ours, not because we grunt harder, but because we learn to walk in the Spirit. We do not become antinomians. We do not reject the law of God, but we recognize the purpose for the law of God, and we realize that purpose isn't to justify us or sanctify us. It can't help us do that. And the passage, it's interesting how they reach all the way back to some things in chapter 3, in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, and they forecast things that are coming up in chapters 8, 9, 11, 12. this is where rubber meets the road. And after a while, you read this passage. If you could read these verses, if I were able to control your reading, and if you would take the same text, whatever it is, if you would take this passage, starting in chapter 5, and just read those verses every day, from chapters 5 through, I would say through 11, if you would read those verses every day, same setting, same time for a month, you would find treasures beyond description. What I'm struggling with is to make this real to you. And the reality starts when I recognize that I died. That's where, and that affects my relationship with the law. Affects my relationship with God, fix my relationship with myself, fix everything. But we don't get that. That doesn't, some reason we don't emphasize that. We don't make that. And the whole process of justification, sanctification, and glorification flow out not out of my connection with the law, but out of my connection with God, the Holy Spirit, who now chooses to come and live in me. And that passage in Ezekiel says it well, where God says, I'm not interested in giving you another book of requirements. What I'm interested in is taking everything that's in this book, and writing it in your heart. Now, not here. That organ doesn't think. It pumps blood. But up here, this is the heart of your being. And I want to put this inside your heart, inside your being, so that you will begin to think, you will begin to understand, you'll begin to view life through this grid, internalize. Does that make sense? It must make sense. I can see in your expression that it really is clear. Do yourself a favor and spend some time wallowing around in these verses. Next week, we'll continue a bit into chapter 7, and we'll try again to make connections. You really did die, just like Jesus died. The purpose of our dying in our spirit baptism, the purpose for us being yoked, connected with Jesus in his death burial, is so that we might be resurrected with him. The reason we are detached from the law, in the sense that we are dead to the law, is because the law cannot give us resurrection life.